It's Wednesday, June 10th.
Lord, we ask that you would make your truth clear to us today. Make your truth clear, O Lord, that your spirit would flow and that it would be your wisdom, not our wisdom that we draw from, O Lord. But light up your word, light up your truth, O Lord, and that we would not take credit, that we would recognize where these things come from, not from our own smart thinking. Do that good work by your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Can I make a quick little comment before you get into something? Well, when we read, we're in Romans 8.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was that Sunday night. Must have been Sunday night. That wasn't it. Sunday morning. I don't think it was last week. Well, that really affected me. It really, because I was always feeling better about reading 7, you know, where the condition Paul was in. But 8 is what really kind of makes you free.
Yeah, victory there, isn't there?
Yeah. And I was feeling really good. And then I read this one verse. You know, it's flowing along. If you're in the Spirit, you're good. If otherwise, the flesh, you know. Well, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you're Spirit. So, it says, okay, 13, it's 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, but then this last part, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Just said that you're supposed to control your flesh.
It's got to be done by the Spirit.
By the Spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So hopefully you're getting enough spirit that you want to put the deeds of the body to death.
Yeah. There's always that fight.
But it's kind of like it's just because you're in that first part that, or before that, doesn't give you a free ride, you know.
Oh, that's right.
You know, that's kind of what it kind of brought me up a little bit and said, you know, you're still responsible.
Yeah,
or how you live in the Spirit, even, you know, or with the Spirit.
Grace is not quite a free ticket.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Grace gave you that Spirit, which is great. I mean, that's what gets you growing. But I sure like that. I like that from about 8, well, actually, right from 8, I mean, there's no condemnation. But when you get into, like, 3, all the way through down, you know, to 14. Why, it's pretty. And then, as you read on, you come to find out that you have become a son, and you are a joint heir with Christ.
Yeah, that's great.
That's kind of exciting. So that's it.
You know, when I've said, you know, Jesus came to save us from our sins, which is not the equivalent of saying Jesus came to keep us from sinning. You know what I mean? So that is what Jesus does. God knows that we're going to sin and keep sinning, and that is the purpose of Jesus. And, you know, and there's more rejoice in heaven for a sinner that repents than for a righteous man that needs no repentance. Not that there's a righteous man. Not that there is such thing as a righteous man.
Yeah, right.
But now, again, like Paul says, should I abundantly sin because so I can have abundance of grace? Certainly not, he said, with exclamation mark.
Okay. Right.
So, no, there's not a free ticket or nothing. But but that's why Jesus came. was
perfect. You know, it's not a free ticket, but it's sure nice to know that there was an answer for your low life, I mean, in the flesh, your condemned life in the flesh. You know?
See, he who says he doesn't sin deceives himself. It's a liar.
Right.
So it's like if you say that you have no sin or think that you don't sin, you are making Jesus void. You are giving him no purpose.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you almost, sin is almost like a necessity. But because to have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying, hey, let's go sin.
Jesus saves us from the sins that we have committed.
Right.
They're what you do with what you do in the future. That's not quite so clear, I don't think. But there's a lot of scripture there that puts a burden on us. Now, it's got to be a work of the flesh,
right.
Spirit. It's got to be a work of the Spirit. I try to be sinless.
No.
That is a joke. That is a joke.
Right.
It's going to have to be a work of the Spirit.
There's another passage someplace in the New Testament towards the end, and I kept wanting to like look it over and write down where it is. And I just haven't. But it does say, you know, don't try not to do this and try to be good and try not to do this and don't over here. There's certain a lot of things, you know, and it doesn't speak of grace or anything, you know.
There are scriptures like that. Yeah.
However, you know, I'm a sinner. You know, I know what my sins are. I know my problems. However, it doesn't weigh on me. Really, it really doesn't, which is super weird. It is weird, and you know that's why it says, you know, there's no condemnation. You know what I mean? And I'm hoping I don't get this messed up. You know.
Well, I believe there is no condemnation.
There is no condemnation
if you know you're in Christ.
Right.
You know.
Right.
There should be no condemnation.
Right. Yeah. However, you know, certain times or whatever,
you are in Christ Jesus. Yeah.
Certain times, you know, when when you fall into it or whatever, I quickly, you know, it's dumb, you know, and I, Lord, you know, that's stupid. You know what I mean? Just deliver me or whatever. You know, like, you know. For example, you know, when Chuck used to work with me, I would get so angry at Chuck, you know what I mean, and I would just think awful thoughts. And, you know, but I quickly, you know, I'm like, jeez, I mean, you know, Lord, that is super wrong, you know what I mean? Whatever, I don't even know why. Anyways.
Yeah, that's the things, though, that's what the word slowly rids us.
Right.
If we stay in it.
I remember coming home from working with Chuck, and I would tell Candy, I said, baby, I said, if Jesus comes when I'm angry at Chuck, I'm going straight to hell.
It's good you tested him, Chuck.
Right. Yeah. So, thank you, Chuck.
God does more when you're in the valley.
Yeah.
So,
where are we at, Keith?
I said, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. But you know what? As we read the whole thing around it, we see there's a lot more to the story. And I think of David, who was a man after God's own heart. And yet, some of the things that David did, he had Uriah the Hittite, he had him killed, put him on he had so much respect for David that he wouldn't do what David wanted him to do. He wouldn't sleep with his own wife. And so that, to make it look like he was the father of the child, they didn't have, what do you call it, in those days, they couldn't run a blood test or not.
DNA.
A DNA. And so he has him killed, steals the man's wife, and he does all of these things, and yet he's a man after God's own heart. But that's not all, that's some of the things he did. But then you read the Psalms, and you read what David, you know, he wrote in the Psalms, and you see something that's totally different. You see a man that's humble and broken and contrite, and you know, you see, and it's like God is not looking as we look. He don't see what we see as we see, and so here's Elijah, a powerful, a faith individual. He calls down fire from heaven and burns up the offering and the stones and the water, and God burns it all up. And so you think now he's going to have victory upon victory upon victory. And so when he finally gets Gehazi, or his servant, I think it was his servant, to look over, and he sees a cloud the size of a man's hand forming in the west, and he said, "Get down off the mountain, it's going to rain." And it's like, that wouldn't impress me to see a little cloud over in the west. Unless it was Steve Holm. We see a little cloud coming on the Mississippi, and I said, "We better get out of here." Mm-hmm. And we never got out before we got soaked. But anyway, so he pulled up his whatever garment he had, and he ran down off the mountain and beat the chariots. So he got down ahead of time, and you think victory, and there was victory. Everything is going to be victory. For he gets down below, and Jezebel, Hillary Clinton, or Jezebel, says, "I'm going to, by that time tomorrow, we're going to have you dead, just like you got rid of all the prophets of Baal." And it scared the pants out of him. So he runs for his life. I mean, here he's just seen all these miracles take place. The fellow we're talking about here in James. And he ran for, 40 days?
He got out of the area.
He got out of the area. Scared the pants out. It scared him half to death. I mean, just a woman. So anyway, so he looked at it, and then he says, he's up in the mountain, and he says, "Lord, why don't you take my life? I'm the only one left." And God says, "I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal." And so you don't really know, Elijah. You know, you think you know. And I thought of that a lot of times, because it says that, you know what, there was a big earthquake, hit the mountain, and God was down in the earthquake. And there was a big wind that covered the mountain, and God was down in the wind. And there was a fire that came over the mountain, and God was down in the fire. And then there was a still small voice. And I think of this, the still small voice. You know, and God is in the voice, and is he not?
When you were talking to David, it kind of reminded me of Romans 7, where Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from myself?" I mean, David's a classic example.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, he knows and he's got the heart, yet he still stumbles.
Well, I'm going to emphasize something for the tape, but when he said, "In this small..." He was holding up the Bible, saying that God speaks in a small voice through His Word. So, they might not have known what he meant.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen you guys in a few weeks. I don't think, right?
Right.
At least
a couple years, hasn't it?
You lost your hair.
Yeah.
Right. Anyways, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, really, this is crazy. You know, there's a scripture that says, you know, before I get into that. You know, there's so, when I see, you know, when I hear people with their concerns and things I hear, I have so many things that I feel like I could say from the Lord, but there's a thing, it's like, you know what, you would think this is the right time? I don't think it's the right time yet. Anyways, you know the scripture that says, pray that you may be worthy to escape these things to come into the world? Is this in Gospels or Revelations? Gospel. Pray that you might be worthy to escape the things to come. I'm pretty sure it's
probably
Gospel.
I think it's a Gospel.
It's Jesus. Yeah, mm-hmm. It must be when they ask him about the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
When this will occur.
Either way. And, so in my mind, I'm probably, you know, it's, you know, the second coming of the Lord, you know, taking us away. You know what I mean? No, thanks. As in a rapture or whatever you call it, right? Pray that you escape it before it becomes a mess. But, you know, so I pray that. You know, because things are weird, you know, so I, you know, Lord, you know, help me escape the things to come. And I have to admit that, you know, okay, so we have COVID, right? And then we have a disaster, Minneapolis, which is doing in the whole world.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Candy, you know, she's kind of tuned in into the what people are saying or whatever. And what's happened to me is I have actually escaped these things.
Mm-hmm.
I escaped them.
Thank you.
I couldn't care any less. My life, I live as if the world is filled with rainbows and marshmallows and unicorns. Not really like that, but it is what's going on in the world. I'm aware, but my heart's not consumed with it.
Yeah. I wonder if that is an aspect of that escape.
Yeah.
So your heart is in a place where you just are not affected by that.
No. Mm. But, you know, okay, in my natural life, like my, you know, my work, COVID didn't affect it. In fact, I got more work, and my schedule was easier, you know what I mean, because things closed down, I was able to take longer, whatever. You know, and we got this thing now in Minneapolis, and George Floyd, or whatever his name is. Nothing. So I told Candy the other day, and she's like, she's telling me, I'm not judging my wife. I love her, and you are entitled to know what's going on in the world, right? And she's, you know, she's telling me things, and all of a sudden, I don't want to hear it. Not because I want to be ignorant of it or naive. It's just, I don't really want to. Now, you know, when Peter said to Jesus, Jesus says, long story short, he's like, I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to die. Peter said, not so, Lord. I don't know. And so Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for you are mindful of the things of man and not of the things of the world. I'm like, okay, he's talking about not being crucified and all that stuff. But when you are mindful of the things of the world, you know what Jesus says? Get behind me, Satan.
Mm.
It is that demonic, because if Satan is demonic, it is that demonic to be mindful of the things of the world. That's exactly what Jesus says of man. Get behind me, Satan, for you're mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. And lately, like the last couple of weeks, I've been only, you know, listening to scriptures at work. I'm in my truck, not a lot of work, because we're coming and going, and I'm with Eli. So I haven't been super focused on God's word, but I haven't lost that string. I haven't lost that umbilical cord. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I have it. So anyway, I wanted to share with you guys, like, you know what? It is possible to escape chaos and what it, just by praying. I mean, what else can you do? Just pray, ask God, and He will. I thought it was the rapture. It's not. You can escape anything. You can walk through fire and not get burned. That's how you escape.
Mm.
you know.
Yeah, I think there could be echoes of both. Mm-hmm. But yes,
yeah.
But that is good, Pablo. Yeah. That's good.
You're referencing Luke 21:36.
Okay.
It says, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's funny, yeah, too. I have no desire to listen to hardly anything.
Yeah.
Because most of it's
lies.
Lies and
yeah,
fabricated,
yeah,
and it's biased. And so I check a few things here and there on YouTube if it looks kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I know that most of it is all, no matter who's saying
it's,
it,
is lies.
You know?
Lies.
Got an agenda.
Yeah, there's all these agendas, and I don't want to be any of those agendas.
No.
So,
you got your own agenda.
That's right.
You know, I think that the truth is like something crazy goes on in the world. You know, one in a million person is going crazy, and the media goes, boom. Hey, look at crazy.
Yeah.
But the majority is not crazy. You know what I mean?
And some voices have been trying to get that out because
yeah.
I heard an interesting thing by the police sheriff, the sheriff captain of Polk County down in Florida. And he, because the headline was captain or whatever police force tells people to arm themselves, you know. And he says, well, down here, most of them are. And I said, and I tell him, that's good. You should protect your home. You know, if somebody tries to come and vandalize or whatever, he says, blow them out of there, he said.
Right.
But, so, he pointed out that, he says, you know, we had a protest, he said. So, here's what happens. The protesters come, and then when it's starting to stop, then pretty soon, most of the protesters leave. Then the agitators are there. And then that's where the rioting starts. It's not the people who were the original protesters with a good, just trying to say a statement. Then you get the agitators that just want to loot and everything. And that's when he said, and then he said a few of the protesters got pulled in. But he said, that's when we clamped down. And then we stop it. Because they know they're on a different agenda and it has nothing to do with the cause. It's of the protest, you know. So, and I'm sure that's happening a lot, you know.
I just am so happy my citizenship is in heaven.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So happy that that's where it's
right.
The important thing is.
Right.
I then yeah. One other quick little thing. I read a thing from a person, like a business that's going to start opening probably, but, and he gives us, and he still causes it. Calls it a raging,
we're getting the youngest courses.
A raging pandemic. At this point, I don't get it. Mm. I mean, that is, where are you getting your information and stuff? It's like, well, I know where
it's called the young circuit.
It's
the liberal
side. You know. So anyway, yeah. I mean, if you want to think that way, but it's crazy.
Well, it's not raging around here. That's
no, sure. That's the thing. And that's where he's at. He's not in New York or Washington or, you know.
You know, Candy and I were talking about, you know, arms. You know, and, not limbs, but arms of weapons. And there's two instances when Jesus refers to that I can remember. One of them is that when he's going to go get crucified, he asks, he says, hey, do we have a sword? He said, yeah, I got one. Okay, we're all good. That's one. And I don't know what for, because Peter used it, and then Jesus healed the guy. So it's kind of amazing. It's like, what, Jesus, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right. The other one is, it's a parable, and Jesus says, I don't know if it's a parable, but Jesus is doing a show. He says, when a man, fully armed, he says, he's good at his house and his goods, he can be in peace. He says, otherwise, you know, not so much. So, you know, Jesus, I mean, he's saying, hey, be fully armed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's good. So he's not talking about the arm of the, you know, the armor of God. No, he's talking about weapons. He's talking about weapons to defend yourself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When a man fully armed, blah, 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 his goods are in peace. You know? So anyways, I'm, whatever.
I'm not, you know, but I'm not, even though, like that sheriff said that, I'm not thinking in those terms. I'm at the point now where they come and want to take everything and take it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right
now. I'm not going to fight them off.
No.
You know.
No, no, take every, but no, but I would, well, I would protect, you know, my life or my relative's life.
That's another
thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've thought, I do have, it's kind of silly. I've got this mid-sized wooden bat that sits inside my bedroom door. I thought, well, if they get this far, I might whack them. But, you know, I mean, if it's just somebody breaking in and mm-hmm. whatever, I don't know. But I doubt that that would happen either. I had a pistol for a while, and I sold it because I thought, I don't know if I really want to shoot anybody anyway. Uh-huh. So, you know, good or bad, you know.
Do you find what you were looking for, Key?
Huh?
Did you find what you were looking for?
No.
What is it?
There's a story that Jesus told where a Pharisee and a publican were praying. Remember the story? I just wanted to read it.
In the temple?
Yeah. In the temple?
I think, well, I don't know if they were.
What else?
They went
what
down
else? We've talked about that just recently.
Yeah, I'd like to find it again.
Where he says, I thank God that I'm not like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You tithe can twice a week. Mm-hmm. Or fast twice a week.
Yeah.
Tithe all that he has or something.
Yeah, it's a crazy world now. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're lucky. It's not like it is. Lucky we're in the area we're in right now instead of in. Not any closer to Minnesota or Chicago and the places where this is happening.
Yeah.
If it was happening in a backyard, I think this conversation would be a different tone right
now. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a little easy to do that escaping, you know. Yeah.
Where did it?
I think Luke 18:11, but I'm double checking that I got it. Yeah, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God,
you know,
I think
what
he
says,
yes.
He stood and prayed thus with himself.
Yeah.
You know,
Luke 18:11.
He prayed thus with himself. And said, God, I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And anyway, the publican, he would not so much as lift his eyes up unto heaven, but smote his breast and said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And I don't know if we recognize it, but the man is praying, but that's as far as the prayer gets. It's just within himself. It's not really going to, I mean, God is not hearing it, you know. And it's a parable, so whether it really happened or not, we don't know. But anyway, afterwards, and he says, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased or humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And so it shows the mindset of God. How God, you know, it's like David can do all kinds of stupid things, and stuff, but he has a heart for God. And God, he doesn't overlook. Well, it kind of says he does. That he hides the sin of men, and he.
Well, that Nathan spoke right up. You know, it was his sin of Bathsheba was exposed.
Yeah, and how does that say that in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, I got a Hebrews in here, don't I?
Most Bibles do.
It's, he says something in 10 that it does say in 8.
Verse 8?
No, chapter 8.
Oh, chapter 8.
Comparing the books 8 and 10.
I can't even
chapters 8 and 10 of the book of Hebrews.
In Hebrews chapter 10, you know, in both of these chapters, he says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But he doesn't say that in chapter 8. He said, I will make a new covenant with them. I will put my laws into their hearts. In their mind will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, he doesn't say that in chapter 8. Not that it matters. But in chapter 8, he says, this is a covenant that I will make of the house of Israel after those days. I will put their minds into their, I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. But we don't see anything about not remembering their sins. It's like a
10:16.
Verse 16.
10:16.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Where is it in verse 8? Here.
Yeah.
Chapter 8.
8:10 and then 10. Yeah. 16, then he says something else. He doesn't say something else. He gives us a better clarification, a better understanding. And you know what? When I saw that, it really impacted me. Their sins and their iniquities, I won't remember them anymore. And that's kind of the things of David. It's like David killed Uriah. Boy, I don't remember that.
Hmm.
And he took Bathsheba. I don't remember that either. Well, is that kind of what it says?
Yeah.
Does it have to be a little sin, or can it be a big one?
Hmm.
Or is sin become sin?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so here's the Pharisee. He said, I thank God I'm not like this publican. And God writes him off the slate. And the publican says, Lord, you know, just have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And he couldn't even look up to heaven. You see, he went down, he went home justified rather than the other one. Because that's the way God looks at it. Those that exalt themselves, God humbles them. Those who humble themselves, God exalts. Does he have a right to do that? Is that a lesson to us? Yeah, it is. You don't approach God as an equal.
Because you certainly are not.
Huh?
Because you certainly are not.
No.
No.
But some people do, you know. In a way, the Pharisee did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here I am, Lord. I'm high and mighty. I'm the best of the best. And
doing it right.
I'm doing everything right. Like the older son that said, Lord, I've done everything you asked me to do, and, you know, and here this wayward son comes home and you kill the fatted calf for him. You know, what that is, that's all that is I shouldn't say all that is, but it gives us the mindsets of God. That's where he approaches things. And we want to do this, and just like what Babu had, you know, said about that I lost it. I did good for a minute, but I lost it.
What'd you say, Pablo?
I remember.
Not at all.
It's kind of a wide subject, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
It's old.
It says that all of that in Jeremiah.
Yeah.
In Hebrews 10. Yes, that's quoting Jeremiah.
Yeah, it right. Says it like the other one, too, in 8.
Oh.
First. Is it? But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. It says it a little different. I mean, no man will teach his neighbor comes at the end, after, you know, in Hebrews, it comes after. He says, I will remember their sin no more, I believe.
I just, depending on the translating, too, I suppose.
Or no, wait a minute. It's 10, 16. Maybe it's an 8, it says it that way. Where it says, no man will teach. I bet that's an 8. Yeah. It's in Romans 8. After he says, they shall be my people, none of them shall teach his neighbor, none his brother, saying, no, Lord, for all shall. Oh, I didn't keep reading. Because then it says, from the least of them to the greatest, and for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more.
Yeah, it says it in both places, can't
it?
Both chapter 8 and chapter 10, that he will remember their sins no more.
In Jeremiah?
No.
Well, in Hebrews 8, then Hebrews 10.
Boy, does it in 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't keep reading either until just now.
But it is.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's quoting, but it is quoting Jeremiah.
Right.
And it's quoting the same passage of Scripture in Jeremiah.
Now that's interesting, because so there in Jeremiah was a prophecy. And then it shows that it got fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way back when, I don't know, 20 years ago or more, there was a guy said that, I heard this statement, that there are 88 or something, I don't know, prophecies in the Old Testament, and all of them have come to pass except for about 7 or 8 or something. And that was that, you know, that was knowing what's come about when the Bible was written, I would guess, you know, or whatever. Something like that. I don't know. But I'm not saying it. I just had heard that said. Now, I don't know if it's exactly true or not, but it kind of made sense at the time, though, because I think we were studying a lot about prophecy and everything, and you know, there's a lot of them that the minute Jesus came, he fulfilled a lot of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's prophecies, though, that he comes back in glory, you know, in a white horse and so forth.
Yeah, and some, so
that hasn't.
There's still some that aren't fulfilled.
Right.
But I thought it's pretty incredible if anybody thinks that this Bible is foolishness. Well, you can go and look back when Moses and whatever said all they said, and then how many thousands of years later it comes about, and it gets verified in the New Testament, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any other books out there that have that.
That level of foreknowledge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For kicks the other day, I was reading, I think it was Daniel,
in Spanish, which everything was the same. It's not nothing weird, but I'm not sure if I understood this right, but Daniel was given all understanding of certain things and science. It says there, like maybe third chapter or first chapter, or who knows where. He was given all understanding of this and this and science.
He was given a lot of.
So not only godly, not only interpret or dreams or whatever else, but science. And I was like, why would that be any spiritual aim?
Yeah, I wonder if he put it to use in any way.
I don't know. I think you believe very much.
For the three, as for these four young men, because it was the other three with Daniel.
Okay.
God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That's one of the places that may say more.
Oh, really?
Daniel 1:4 mentions knowledge and understanding science.
Oh, is it?
Where were you at, Ken?
I was at 17.
Okay. So
Daniel 1:4.
Yeah, it is
1:4, huh?
Young man,
right up front.
Was no blemish, was good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand with ability to discern whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Mine doesn't say anything about science.
Daniel 1:4?
Yeah.
Children of whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, as such had abilities in them to stand in the king's palace.
Leaves out science in the new.
So, what you got there?
This is King James, and he's got New King James, so.
How weird. I was in Spanish.
We're going to go look at several others then.
Yeah.
See what it says.
It goes right up to where, and then it says, quick to understand, and then it stops. And then it says, who had ability to serve in the king's palace were yours.
Were yours.
Quick to understand science, I think, is what you think.
Yep. Yeah, most of them do not have the word science.
Really? That's not a word that you think that would not, it's not like it is or it isn't. It should be or it's
worth it. I wonder if they were thinking he had a lot of understanding. Well, what was the understanding? Well, it had to be science, I guess. You know, maybe that's what the translators were, you know, understanding. Well, what would it be?
It would be.
Maybe the word science has changed its meaning a little
bit. But it would be understanding of the things of God, if nothing at first.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else with science? Oh, see, but it's in Spanish. You see, the Spanish is not from the King James. You know, Spanish is still from the original manuscripts. You know what I mean? So, it's so weird.
Yeah, very, very few.
Who's here?
Basically. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Very few translations have the word science.
Oh, so there's more than one.
Just two of them listed. One was King James. The other one was the New Heart English, which I don't know how big of a. But most of them are intelligent or insight or.
It just stops at understanding.
Yeah, understanding, comma.
What do you have in was astrology kind of the science back then?
That's like a branch of science, I suppose.
Yeah.
In 1 Timothy And the oppositions of science, falsely so called.
sometimes I have the hardest time finding Timothy. It's before he was.
King James opposition science, but most of the other ones are saying falsely called knowledge.
Or what science is knowledge gained by natural observation. You know, that's what
was it? 1 Timothy what?
6:20.
6:20. Timothy, God, avoiding the profane idle babblings, contradicts what is falsely called knowledge. Stops.
Well, that's what it is. It's science is knowledge gained by natural observation.
It doesn't say science, though, in the New King James.
If you look it up in the dictionary, the word science, I think that's what it means.
Probably the word science has taken on some meaning in the last 400 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And New King James is figuring,
that's the right answer.
But I don't know if that's quite fair either. You know, hey.
Yeah, science is one thing.
They're not trying to make waves. Mm. They're trying to be acceptable to the world. I think they're a little bit.
Well, it's knowledge to know what kind of lure to use and what time of day to use it.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue, is that knowledge science or is that knowledge?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
good point there.
Knowledge is not necessarily science. Although, on some level, you can say, well, would you call it science if you know what kind of propellants to use to make a rocket go in the air? Well, sure you would. That's rocket science.
Science is science, I think, at least, like more of an in-depth.
Yeah, but I don't think it really implies anywhere in Daniel that he was a studier of that type of thing. God just gave him stuff.
Right. That's why it was surprising to me.
Yeah,
but was it just given to him, and was it in fact science or was it in fact just knowledge?
Because what he learned to do mostly was know the secret of what the dreams were of the king.
Right, right.
You know.
Yeah, he was given insight and revelation.
Did he? Go ahead. Did he interpret anything more than the first dream from
Nebuchadnezzar?
There were several.
He did it multiple times.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. And then over here, the king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret."
Oh, hey, when I was reading that. So, see that he had a dream, like A, B, C. And the interpretation was like strawberries with marshmallows. It was like, how do you get from here to there?
Yes, it was.
But it was, you know what I mean? Anyway, what was the interpretation? Something about a hand of clay? What was it?
There was a couple. There was one was a hand wrote something on the wall. And he was trying to get his astrologers and whatever to come up with what that meant, and they couldn't.
Mm. Yeah, you know, when I read the interpretation of the dream, something came up to me about whatever, and I was like, you know what, that's right now. But I don't remember what it was. Can I borrow your Bible, Glenn?
Sure.
I got the same up as you, but.
Yeah. So, in this day and age, if we were by Minneapolis.
If we were what?
If we were, say, in Minneapolis, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King.
Right.
That's a pretty strong statement. Faith. That is a lot of faith.
That sure was.
He kind of set the bar, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking to the king, and he already had favor with him, but it's like he's going to lose it all right now,
uh-huh.
You know, when he makes this statement. But
mm-hmm.
And then it was the deceivers and so forth that convinced the king that they eventually ended up in the fiery furnace.
Right.
But then they come out of it, and then the king explains again, your God is, you know.
Yeah.
Mighty, right.
Well, while he was surviving the furnace, the king had nothing to do but back walk that back, as they say in today's vernacular.
Right.
I guess I didn't say that exactly correct.
Yeah.
Fire, right. That furnace fire won't destroy you every time.
The statement was taken out of context.
Yeah. Mm.
Here's an interesting, therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. But he says perhaps.
Is that this is about the writing on the wall?
No, I don't know. I just see. I when I read through here, I underlined things that stuck out to me. And
yeah, they were having this big feast, and then there was this hand that wrote something on the wall. Me. Yeah. Something you farson.
Yeah, me, tackle you farson.
Yeah, right. Tackle, that's right. Tackle you farson. And it means you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Yeah, that comes after where I read.
Wasn't that all prompted because the king decided to use the gold or the use the tabernacles? He basically went in and
did
robbed.
Some blasphemous
he,
thing. Yeah,
he robbed. He robbed the Holy of Holies stuff. So he.
You know what? That writing on the wall was to the son.
Yes, it wasn't to Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
It was
his
successor. Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's kind of like.
God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tico. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Paris, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians.
Yeah, and then they got invaded that very night.
Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, right. Right.
Well, I'm okay with it now, but when I first started seeing the fires every place, 50 years ago, the dream that I had was everything was on fire, and we were up in the place where I used to live, where I was born and raised, and the lake was on fire, and the woods were on fire, and everything was on fire. And so I got a real 50-year-old flashback, and I saw it. I thought, I wonder how far these fires are going to go. And I'm not saying that I tell them that's really good, but
yeah. I don't know that a lot of people dealt with it really well.
No, it is a fire for a lot of people who don't have whose immediate circumstances don't.
Yeah, no, I mean. I think just the fact that, you know, fires. I mean, there's very interesting. There's a picture of someone living in Hudson.
Yeah.
That took a picture of Minneapolis, you know, looking over the bridge.
And really?
You can see the glow from the city where it's burning, and you can tell it's a fire. Yeah. And so this is, you know, 15, 20 miles away, and you're saying you can still see that there's some, but someplace is burning. You know, there's a lot to that.
You know
what it looked like out west.
You know, the same
with the forest fires.
Whatever's going on in the Minneapolis, you know, it's echoing in the whole world.
Yeah.
And I know, even in Chile, I should say. And, you know, in Chile, there was an incredible protesting deal that lasted for a long time. And it was actually shut off by COVID. Anyways, It was very interesting to see what I saw in Chile of what people were doing and what people are doing here in America. It's identical. Is that the thoughts in people's heads? I don't want to say so much about the actions, but the thoughts and the mentality of people is identical. It is so exactly like what the Bible speaks about. You know, in the last days, people would be like this, like that. And I told Kenny, I said,
what we're watching, this is a spirit. It's mm-hmm. God has allowed the devil to put a spirit. That's why it's identical. It's identical everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the truth is we can't blame the people. We can't be angry. I mean, we can, you know. But it's not the people. It's like being angry at Judas. You know what I mean?
We wrestle not with flesh and blood.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So it's like Jesus says, you know, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And we should look at it the same way, you know. Father, instead of being angry, you know, it's upsetting. You know, you got a business, they take it away from you, and you got whatever, they destroy it, they take it for no good reason. We have to, not only we need to forgive them, but we need to ask the Father to forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's a spirit. And it's for the good purposes of God. There's a purpose that God has for all this. Just like when Jesus was crucified and killed, there was a purpose for that. You know what I mean? Judas, the devil entered into Judas. It was a spirit, but it was for a good purpose. All this is for the good purpose of God, and it looks like a mess. But we need to forgive him and ask that the Father forgives him, you know. And even though we don't do nothing and it might not affect us directly, it's also a test for us. So what are we going to do? Are we going to be angry at that? Or are we going to forgive? That's what God wants us to do, to forgive. You know, and if we don't forgive, he won't forgive us either. You know, we have to forgive and whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, all right, thank you. It's hard at times to be happy with God's plan.
Yeah.
You look at it and go, this is God's plan, and you go, I'm not sure.
Totally get it.
I mean, his plan's perfect.
Yeah.
And so when it just seems so contrary to what I think, you go, well, he's God and I'm not. But I mean, you literally have to walk around and say,
if this
is God's will, then it's got to be good. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see it right now. Right. I mean, you know, and that's my weakness.
But like Charlie said, you know, he said, I'm glad my citizenship is in heaven.
That was powerful.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, well, the world is a disaster, but, you know, I'm just here to say hi. You know what I mean? This is not it.
You know, what's funny for me is I really had that attitude about the corona thing. Because that was attacking everybody equally. I am just not in the place where I'm just equally not impacted by this latest thing. Because people are telling me that I have privilege, and I never knew it, never felt it. I never walked through my life thinking I'm privileged, but now I'm being told I am, and it's a little different. And now, you know, we're told that, you know, the greatest right we have in our country is free speech. We don't have free speech in this country anymore.
No.
I mean, it's not even okay. I can't have free speech and be a racist. Because, I mean, according to the Constitution, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But no, it's not okay. You know, and so it's funny to me. I mean, in all I'm saying in myself, this is a weakness I have in myself, because I had absolutely zero fear about coronavirus. Didn't bother me at all because I knew God would protect me. Don't have exactly the same feelings about it. This unrest. Because I'm like, yeah, both God's along both.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, so why do I feel this way? And what do I need to do? Exactly. Well, I'm not there yet. You know, and
it flares up every now and then in me, and I just try to put it back down.
But see, God wants to do a work in us. He wants to say, okay, can you forgive? Can you pray for your enemies?
Yeah.
He wants to give us opportunities to do what he's telling us to do.
And he's judging a lot of the other people.
Yeah.
Maybe all half their businesses, the person had the wrong concept about why he had that business.
Right.
Or whatever. You know, I mean, God's dealing with everybody.
Right.
Well, who's to say that that business wasn't inspired illegally? or there was some sin that allowed that to happen.
God knows.
And actually, that was a judgment and a righteous judgment that happened in this. You know, we don't judge. I mean, it's a very bad sin.
You know, we kept saying this country was so well, finally, I mean, we've probably been feeling that God's going to judge it sooner or later because of the godlessness of, mm-hmm. you know, and everything else. So, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, well.
It says if you're His, though, you'll have peace.
Yeah, right. If Scripture is any example, you keep pushing God out, God will leave. And then you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and you could argue that this country's been pushing God out.
One of the things that's hard to deal with or hard to equate to is the fact that servants and slaves have been a part of the world structure in thousands of years. And America, when we started out, George Washington had slaves. First president, he had slaves, and so slaves have been a part of the economy down south for years. And I think myself, you know, other than this kind of super thing that happened with the police, I think that the black people have fit into the structure a lot better than could have been expected up to you know. There's not anything in me anywhere that has any problem with any color. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just not in me. And I think there's a lot of people that are like me that are the same way. But there's not a problem with color or race or black people or green people or purple people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this was a kind of a crazy demonic thing that happened. But the police have been, they've been criticized rightfully over the years, and not just for picking out black people, but for being prejudiced in the things that they were doing. I worked for a Chicago policeman that should have been locked up.
So the thing we have to remember is that Africa sold its own people into slavery. Now,
yeah.
They sold their own people into slavery for the money. You know, I mean, it wasn't just the white people that went there and gathered them. No, they were being sold into it. You know.
Yeah, probably a little of both, I would say.
Yeah, but they don't, you know, that's never, you never hear that part of it, you know, but yeah.
But Jesus gave us a parable it was an actual thing, I don't think, where the man said, I'm going to sell this fellow and his kids and his family to pay out their debt.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's slavery. You know what I mean? And
the Bible talks about masters and slaves a lot.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of that in the scriptures. And so it's not that it's good. It's not that it's right, or anything else. I don't think the Bible meant it to be good, but I think that as a nation, we were doing really, really, really good with this issue of race. I think the nation was doing good. I think that this is a demonic
it is.
Thing.
Yeah.
You know.
First of all, if you could be sitting in a different circle and they'd be yelling at you and saying, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they can do that all they want.
You know, because I don't know. We don't know what it's like to be in that position. You know. of being black. Now, some do great, some don't. So, I mean, and some white do great, some don't. I mean, to me, it's really has nothing to do with skin. It has to do with the person inside everybody, you know. But you can use it to, you know, to however you want to use it.
You know, what is the, what really is a slave? So, I mean, why didn't the slave say, oh, you know what, I'm going to go on my own. Could have they done that?
You know, the law protected the ownership of the slaveholders.
Yes. And where would they go?
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, so they'd be brought back in and probably...
They weren't being educated at first or anything.
I suppose...
You would want to read the book Roots.
Okay. Because I suppose if they were black and if they leave, say, okay, goodbye, well, then you could just tell them by the color of the skin that they were...
Well, they hunted them down right away. They just...
Yeah, they set the dogs out.
Yeah, they had dogs. Yeah. They just...
See, I don't have any history or knowledge.
You probably don't want to.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Believe me, you probably don't want to. It was cruel.
Yeah. Okay.
What they did to the slaves.
So it's not really like a maid, but you know, a worker. I mean, they were not getting paid or nothing.
No. They were getting fed somewhat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's about it. Really. Basic living.
They would, like, say you were a slave.
Okay.
You were married and had kids. They could take your wife and kids and sell them right out from under you.
Yeah.
You know. That's just an example.
And the Bible, you know, slavery in the Bible times would not have permitted that.
Okay.
So, you know, if any kind of justification of slavery on the basis of Bible just doesn't hold up because the slaves were accorded rights that they never had down south.
And yet, I'm not justifying, but Paul is telling some of the ones that he's preaching to, he says, if you're owner, you know, and return to your owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you escape, then return to your owner and treat him as a brother. Well, that ain't going to work with the owner, but...
I do get a kick out of what Paul says.
Yeah.
He says, slaves, obey your masters, and do as work as well as you can. Not just to try to show off, but then he puts some obligations on the masters. Masters, remember, you got to treat these people decent, you know. Forget exactly how he expresses it, but
he kind of implies
there's the obligations that the master has.
Gain your freedom, great. If you can't, do it unto the Lord, your work.
Yeah, right.
And then he says, I think with the masters and you, if you want to be, then you should look and decide, maybe I shouldn't be requiring this of men, you know.
You've got a master in heaven. So.
Yeah, right.
You want
to? So, be judged as
going on during that time, you know.
Yeah.
See, the whole point is, if the whole world went under Christ's teaching, you wouldn't have any of this, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, it's because you'd be doing it all unto your Father, and so it doesn't matter what your conditions are, and then people wouldn't be treating each other the way they are if they were true Christians or whatever, you know, that's the name that was given, but followers of God, if they were true followers of God and his son Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be doing all those things, you know, so you'd have a good world, but obviously even the Father knows that that's not going to happen.
No.
Every single person isn't going to come to Christ.
The Bible gives us no reason to think that it's going to be anything but downhill. It'll be downhill. Now there could be a mighty move of God's Spirit and a great ministry, but it, you know, the conditions are just going to be downhill. Mm.
Flesh will fail.
Mm. Yes, it will. Mm. Flesh does fail. Flesh is failing.
Yeah.
But with the Spirit, you can overcome that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, God didn't promise us a rose garden.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, look at
he was eating to start with.
Why didn't Stephanie just start preaching like he did? And then look at what he got. He didn't care.
Well, he was okay with it in the end. He went to sleep.
And that's what he wants us to be like.
Yeah.
Really, yeah.
Preach it whether they like it or don't.
When he says to preach it, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he was led by the Spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, you know, that he was a man full of the Spirit, I think, earlier. There's quite a few of them that had that, characteristic given to him,
mm-hmm.
the truth about him.
Yeah.
I mean, Philip and a lot of them.
Well, when you guys were talking about writing on the wall, it brought back that vision that I had a while back.
Yeah, I think about that sometimes.
You know, I saw myself kneeling on my bed looking at the wall, and there was writing was coming down from top to bottom and kept going from left to right and kept going over, and then finally they started going from left to right, going horizontal, you know. And I wasn't afraid, but I looked at it, and I'm forgetting some of it, but the gist is, when we got all done, it was on all different languages, and I couldn't recognize any of them, but as the last line was written across the bottom, horizontal, it started coming in English, and all it said was, I am here, you know.
Which is a powerful message.
Yeah, something to put on besides what we were just talking about. Put some hope in there.
Oh, but definitely.
You know, and I think about that quite a bit, you know, now and then. I keep saying to myself, yeah, I am here. And I think, then I ask myself, but where am I? Where am I? Yeah. And that's the big question.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's here, but where am I? Yeah. That's a tough one to answer. But if you're being truthful with yourself, it really isn't that hard to answer.
Didn't God tell Moses that he said to tell him that I am has sent you?
I am that I am, or whatever, yeah.
I am the I am.
Yeah. I'm kind of reminded by that with that vision. Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, it might be my own perception, but then they went and misused that phrase and just said it always meant, you know, that when it got repeated a few times, like when Jesus said, who are you looking for? He said, I am. Well, that wasn't the same as the I am that was said, you know, in the Old Testament. It didn't mean he was God.
You know what, Ken? I have thought about that thing so many times, and I think, you know what? But it could mean that God was in him.
True. Well, there was a reaction, but I don't, you know what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
No. No.
They all went backwards and fell on their
head. You might have meant God, yeah, God's with me, which Emmanuel is God's presence, you know.
The presence of God in him could have caused that reaction.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have a, I'm not saying.
It is a mighty, mighty thin argument for the divinity of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's thin. And it shouldn't cause us to say, oh, well, we got to be wrong. You know, that's what they do.
Oh,
or you gonna fall right on your nose?
I've been watching. I'm all ready to. Yeah. Yeah. You've been looking a little tired tonight, buddy.
Yeah, it looks like you had a little sun.
Yeah. And
what did you
feel? A few rays.
A few rays. Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
You're nervous, aren't Charles? getting close. It's 20 to 9. So.
Yeah. But anyway, it's one of those things. I thought about that a lot of times. I thought, what would the, you know? We know he's the Son of God, the Son of Man. But by saying I am, well, he didn't say I am. He said I am He.
Yeah. I mean, see, it didn't. He didn't just say I am. He said I am He, which is a different setting, kind of.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that it's given way too much that it doesn't have to be given to. Just way too much. What is the word? Too much
thinking.
Weight or whatever.
Puzzle. Too much trying to make pieces of the puzzle fit when this is not a puzzle. It's just way overdoing. It's an overdoing of a thing. Yeah, I mean.
It certainly is suggestive of that.
But the fact that everybody fell backwards
but
is a strange thing.
Not for Jesus.
Right.
Not for Jesus.
He was filled with the fullness of God.
No. How about the loaves and the fishes? And the walking on water. Well, and the wine on the water.
How about when he walked through the midst of
it? Yeah, that's not strange. We're talking about Jesus. It's not strange at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
Like Ken, I heard so many things over, you know, 50 years.
You know, it's like back and forth.
Mm-mm.
I remember that. Actually, that was a big thing with Don Barnett, I believe. The
Trinitarians, especially, that made him God.
No.
You know.
And Seattle, too, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was when it was the duality.
Yeah.
Well, that was when God was speaking. And this is when Jesus was speaking.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And he was so sure of himself.
Oh, yeah.
He was so sure.
God was speaking in all of them.
Yeah.
You know, but.
You know, he was a really good model for what you should not be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that top sure certainty?
Yeah.
No.
Like that
too. Yeah.
You know?
Keep your mind open, Mr. Barnett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's gone, long gone now. So.
Yeah, right.
You know, about keeping your mind open, you have to have your mind open to God.
Yes.
You sure do.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You sure do.
Not to.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? One right. You got to stand for something or you fall.
Yeah. Now, there's some truth to that, but. Right. Yeah.
Not just standing for whatever.
No.
Stand for the truth.
Yeah.
How many times are you Keith Ken, what do we believe in this church?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not really sure on something. Well, we got a stand for something. We'll fall for anything. How many times have I heard that?
Well, that's how it goes. Yeah, you got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
And I thought,
of course, in an aspect, there's truth to that.
By I have fallen for so many things. That
yeah.
I don't really want no more. If we can help it.
No.
Yeah, but. Unfortunately, that statement is looking to divide, not to unite, which is exactly kind of the problem we have in the world.
Opposite of what they think.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Do we all believe this? Great. No, this is, we're now going to figure out what you don't, and then it starts to divide.
And then you'll all be lost if you stay that way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Well. Oh, my.
Well, if God is in it, then when the trouble the country's in, He will fix it.
That's right.
I don't think He will.
Well, if God's in it, and that's what He wants to fix,
it will be good. It will be good for some purpose.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're gonna.
I don't think
it's gonna be great again. Right?
It's wrapped up in a scroll or something. You know,
well, there is a prophecy that says, first there will be. Tribulation,
mm-hmm.
and then there will be a time when they go peace, peace.
Yeah.
So there'll be a calming for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that where? And there is no peace, though, isn't it? NPC. Peace, peace.
America?
Well, it says it's in general, the world or whatever.
Didn't say what country.
No, it just says there's going to be a time of...
Well, there'll be the millennial peace.
Well, I don't know. It's not talking about that, though.
No.
You know, we need to find it, because it breaks it down pretty good, where it says first there'll be turmoil, then there'll be peace, and then the end shall come. And, of course, it won't be peace for the ones that don't have the right vision, and looking upward.
Either way, I think so far, sometimes I'm a little afraid of saying things that God has done for me, because I don't want to... I've escaped the bad things, but I have escaped them. If you escape them, who cares how you escape them?
What you brought earlier was good regarding that, Pablo. Yeah. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they escaped the fiery furnace, in a sense, which is funny because they got put right in the middle of it. I mean,
right.
But they did escape it.
Yeah.
And we may, in that same kind of way, go through circumstances that are horrid, but still
escape it. Just, don't be mindful of the things of man. That does not mean by any means like to not pay attention or not be unaware. Be aware, whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't be mindful. That is of the devil. That's the devil. The devil can do so many things when you are mindful of those things. So many people trying to argue and give their points and whatever. What Jesus says, by worrying, you can't do nothing, change nothing. Right? By talking, you can't do nothing or by anything. There's nothing you can do. You're not going to change nothing because God is already doing whatever you're doing. Leave it alone. Let God do his thing, and let God do his thing on you too. Let God give you peace,
I had a conversation with this lady like 3 weeks ago. And like every time I keep saying, oh man, this was the most open person I ever spoke to. But this lady was the most open person I ever spoke to. She's a Christian already, she must have said, and here I am, I gotta get done. It's hot. And Eli is waiting for me. And we must have talked for half an hour. It's for like 3 weeks. And she must have said 7 or 8 times, she said, for different things. It's like, Pablo says, I really need to hear that. I'm like, you really, really need to hear a bunch of stuff. And we were talking about COVID those days. We didn't even, in the old days. Remember COVID? we didn't even have the protest. But I told her, I said, you know what? I don't care, long story short, I said, I don't care what the world is going crazy. It's kind of like what I was telling you guys. Like, it's God and I. The world can go crazy. I don't care. She's like, I'm a little afraid, because this and that. I'm like, I said, her name is Vicky. I said, and I felt like I kind of prophesied a little bit, but not. I said, God has taken care of you all your life. I said, even when you didn't even know God, he took care of you. I said, why is he going to stop taking care of you right now? You know what I mean? What? I said, yeah, I said, you're right. He says, when I didn't know God, he took care of me. He said, I should have been dead 100 times. I said, yeah, you're right. Why God has taken care of all of us all these days? Why God always says, he's not going to say, I'm sick of you, Charlie. You're on your own. No. Yeah, people have to stop taking care of us. The world can do whatever they want. I don't care. God is going to do whatever. He's going to take care of us. Who cares what the world is doing? Nobody cares. That's what I told her, long story short.
Well, good you brought all that to her.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's building faith.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, she heard faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was hungry for it, sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Lord was speaking to her.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all
maybe about. For her benefit.
Yeah. And I told her about listening to scriptures. I was listening to it with my headphones, so I showed her. I said, Mickey, I said, you know, just play the scriptures. And she reads her Bible, and she said, yeah, I tried to read the Bible, I said, but I need to, but I don't understand. I said, and then reading and reading, and I don't understand. I said, Mickey, I said, you just read. I told her, like I told you, this is the Bible is food. And then I gave her scriptures, why God's word is food. I said, when you eat bread, you don't say, sesame seeds, flour, eggs, and water or milk or whatever. You just eat everything. You just eat it, and it's good for you. I said, just take it in. Believe it all. And I told her, don't leave your, if your church doesn't one thing or another with this scripture, don't worry about it. Take it all. Believe it all. Don't worry about it. When anybody says, told you, just eat it, read it, take it in. Don't understand it, don't worry about it. It's not about understanding. It has nothing to do with understanding. You just take it in. And I don't know. And see, what I've been doing now, I've been, are you guys familiar with Spotify? You know what Spotify is? Does it ring a bell?
Yep.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yes. Spotify is basically a phone thing that you can listen to anything. Anything. And the Bible is one of them. So instead of downloading the whole Bible to my phone and whatever, I just go to Spotify. So much easier. Phone Bible. So I told Eric, you got Spotify? Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'm going to Spotify. Play the Bible. And, you know, whatever.
So it'll play on your phone?
It'll play on your phone.
But how fast does it run your battery down?
Nothing. I go all day, yeah, because your phone is not on, as in like the screen is not on, the light, which is what
sure.
So you can go all day and it doesn't take nothing out. Nothing.
Of course, let's see. You could play it at home then over with a
Bluetooth.
With a Bluetooth speaker, so you can hear it better.
Okay, Spotify does cost $10 a month.
Oh, whatever. $10 a month, okay.
But, then you want to listen to worship or whatever. You listen to worship, listen to praise. You can listen to rock and roll if you want, or anything you want. But everybody has Spotify, basically. A lot of people do. So you tell them, hey, listen to Spotify, listen to it. And I don't know how many versions is there. So I've been listening to King James, which made it interesting because all of a sudden I'm starting to realize a few different things between King James and New King James. Nothing major, but different words. It's interesting. But anyways, this lady was very, 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 very open, very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Matthew 4:4, where Jesus told the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. And in the King James, I don't know how it is in other translations, but it says, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's Matthew 4:4.
I think that's, you're going to find that essentially in every, you know, the translation.
Well, you know one difference between King James and New King James? You know when Jesus was in the temple when he was 12 years old? King James says he was talking to the doctors. I'm pretty sure. And New King James says something else. Are you familiar with that one? Does he say, doctors. He's talking to
the doctors of the law, doctors of the word.
Yeah, well, he says doctors either way. Okay, whatever, either way. And New King James says, speaking to the teachers or something. Or whatever. No,
probably doctor. The word doctor has changed meaning in the last 400 years.
Yeah.
But I'm finding pretty consistently, don't live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. But everything that God says.
In other words, what I've done over the years, I have been a part of so many different church backgrounds, things that we isolated because this is what we liked, and this is what we liked, and this is what they liked, and this is what they liked. So your emphasis was on a portion of the scriptures. No exceptions. John Burnett the same way. After a while, I really like this setting. I really like this, but you know what? What about the rest? I got to the point. No, I'm not in. I don't care. If, you know what I mean? I want the whole thing. I want the whole picture. I want the whole the every word. And that's why Paul said, "I have not." In the 20th chapter of Acts, he says, "I have not shunned to declare to you every word." You know.
The whole council.
The whole council of God. Yeah.
I like the ones that are just real puzzling.
I have a lot of them that are real puzzling.
I mean, you know, God just doesn't make himself real plain. That's all there is to it.
No.
Okay, so, you know, so what do we do with Matthew 28 and 18? Where are we at with that? Is have we, you know, are we... Does it, huh?
Table.
Table?
Means put it aside.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Now, if that is there, if we are to live by every word out of the mouth of God, what if that is God's word and we decide that it's not, then we're not living by every word out of God, and then we're then actually not living then. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, I did a little research on it. What little I could do isn't much.
It's an issue with Glenn, because yeah. His daughter's getting baptized on Sunday.
Okay.
And that was brought up on, that scripture was brought up, but I Googled it, which you can learn a lot on Google.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you a lot of information. And a lot of places I found where a lot of Bible, that scripture was added later.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Catholic Church or some church, but that was not in the original from what I learned. Now, I can't prove it right or wrong,
right.
But that's what I'm hearing. You know.
But, you know, it is in every translation.
I think it pretty much is. But there is, Glenn's right. I mean, there is some evidence that it was kind of added later.
But it could have been added later and then adopted and put in every translation.
Right. But you're right, Bobo, it's there.
Yeah. Baptism is in the name of Jesus. If I was going to baptize Dash myself, I would baptize you in the name of Jesus all day long. And I will still believe in Matthew 28:19. Because Matthew 28:19 is not saying what Acts. It's saying something different. There's a place in some place in the New Testament that says, I read, that says, they were only baptized in the name of Jesus. I was like, what? So what? Is there other baptisms? You know what I mean? Have you been baptized only in the name of Jesus? So that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well.
I think it was, have you baptized only in John's baptism?
No. This one that says, have you only been baptized in the name of Jesus? 100%, no doubt. No,
Gee, I think that was John's baptism.
God was thrown down there.
No,
100%.
Yeah. Anyways,
okay.
Now listen. I'll
that one back right back to you.
Look it up. Now, you guys know where I stand here, right? I believe with all my heart that scripture is there. Jesus said it. It is there. It belongs there. It does not mean Jesus is God. It does not talk about the Trinity. I still baptize in the name of Jesus. That's what I believe. He's there. I believe it. Jesus said it. Okay? That's what I believe. Okay? Now, my take, I don't want to put words in your guys' mouth, but my take is that you guys don't believe that. You guys believe that I was added there. Jesus did not say that. It supports the Trinity. It means Jesus is God. Now, if I'm wrong, what do I lose? What's my guilt? Where's my sin? If I'm wrong. Now, Revelation says, at the end it says, if anybody adds or takes away from this book of this prophecy, long story short, your name will be taken out of the book of life. Right? So saying that Matthew 28:19 does not belong in the Bible, you are taking it, let me finish, you are taking it out of the Bible. So doing so, it's saying that, if I'm wrong, I believe I don't lose. If you believe that that's not there, you are taking away from the Bible, and you are falling into the last verses of Revelation. That is just my take on it.
No, I don't believe that we don't, that that's what I thought.
You know, that's all. You know what I mean? And I feel safer. I feel safer believing
it. You said there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Okay, so there's that's the Holy Spirit part of it.
Yep.
Baptized in the Son.
Yep.
Jesus baptized in him. Baptized in the Father.
Yeah, we don't know.
Well, we'll see what that's about. You know, we don't have the revelation on. I'm not rejecting that, Pablo.
Yeah.
I say, okay, well, you know, that's what Pablo. Okay, you know, I'm certainly willing to accept that there could be future light. If it truly were interpreted in the way that you are suggesting, I don't think there'd be much of a problem. Trouble is, when they baptize in water, they're talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. They're talking about speaking tongues. They are talking about a water baptism, which includes the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, all in the process of that water baptism. It's a three-in-one way. So it's not so much the problem with the Scripture as it is the way that it's been interpreted by the church. That's my argument.
Okay, so when they baptize, this is a genuine question, when they baptize in Acts and on, underwater, you're saying they're including...
No, I think you meant, Charlie meant, when the Trinitarians baptize, they're putting all three in it. Right? Isn't that what you were saying?
I don't couldn't care that's what Trinitarians are doing.
That's my argument. The way that it's treated is wrong.
When you say that last verse is in Revelation, I'm going to kind of say that I think you're misinterpreting that.
Okay.
Because if you read John,
mm-hmm.
it's that book
okay.
of Revelation that you can't change, because it's a prophecy, and it was being said before any of that 28:19 was recorded, you know.
Okay.
So I think,
just
for that book.
I accept that. Okay. So is it okay for me to either take away from someplace else?
No, it's not. Hey, but I think in some regards, because of the way you can't make certain absolutes, because man has done a few things. But what you need to do is just listen to what the Holy Spirit shows. And he doesn't show anything but baptizing at this point. Now, if there's a big revelation coming.
I still believe that, so respectfully, that you're not understanding what I'm saying.
No, I am understanding exactly what you're saying.
No, I don't think you are, because what you're answering me is not... doesn't fit what I'm trying to say, and it's, I'm not saying you don't have Holy Spirit. I'm not what your answers to what I'm saying, are a different light of what I'm saying.
I know it says you need to believe every word of God.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all,
but there's different translations, different manuscripts.
Yeah.
And so some of them could benefit, and God will still let truth come forth.
Yeah.
Because some stop before it says that. There are some translations that don't have that last part in
mm-hmm.
it. They just stop. So
there's one, isn't there?
But if at in the certain time of the centuries, if that's all that was believed and that's all that got printed,
for what it's worth, this is my understanding. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that when Jesus said that, he said, baptize him in the name of Jesus. Of the Son. He says, baptize him in the name of the Son. And also baptize him in the name of the Holy Spirit. And also baptize him in the name of the Father, which we don't know. So, and what the baptism that is done in the New Testament is the baptism in the name of Jesus. You know, hey, let's baptize you. There's water. Hey, who keeps me from being baptized? Hey, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. Okay, we got one out of three there. Then, like, well, hey, he was only baptized in the name of Jesus only. He says, oh, let's lay hands on him. Now, we are not the ones that baptize in the name of in the Holy Spirit. What we do is we pray for it. We lay hands, and then Jesus baptizes us in the name of the Holy Spirit through our laying of hands on him. So now we got two baptisms. Now, Jesus says, are you able to be being baptized by the baptism that I am about to be baptized? By then, whoever Jesus is talking to, he was already baptized in the name of Jesus or underwater for forgiveness of sins or whatever it is. There's a baptism that we don't know about. Yet, we don't. And if I'm wrong, if I'm missing, if I was deceived by man, I lose nothing. I lose nothing. I really don't.
Well, I think you're implying that we're going to be accountable for something.
Yes, I am.
Well, I don't feel that.
No, that's fine that you don't. But that is my view.
Let me give you the same advice you gave the lady.
If I am, but I will be only accountable for believing the Bible that was put in my hands.
Papa, you told the lady, eat it, don't try to understand it.
Right.
And let me say the same thing to you.
Yes.
Eat this thing, but don't.
I'm not. But when I eat it, all of a sudden, what I'm eating, something, but you guys are not eating the same. We're not eating the same.
Well, maybe we are.
Okay.
No? Okay, so anyway.
I want to inject here. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to clear that. I didn't say that I don't believe that verse belongs in the Bible. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is there's other parts that we're going to research. It says it was not in some of the Bibles or in the original.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know which is right or wrong, but I don't. Not saying I don't believe it doesn't belong in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, you guys ain't helping me one bit here, but I am going to do what my daughter asks.
Mm-hmm.
To be baptized in the name of Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And for the record, mm-hmm. and I told these guys before you got here, they do not believe in the Trinity. They believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three things, but not all in one.
Who does? I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit.
This is where we're getting all mixed up in here. We're trying to make something out of nothing.
Did you find Corky being baptized in the name of Jesus? Only in the name of Jesus.
I didn't even look. Yes, I was listening. So
I'm covered because I was baptized both ways.
I'm not. So I don't know. I'm a little shaky ground.
Anyways, my point, what I want to, because I believe, if you believe a certain way, you think you're right. And if I believe, so if I'm just sharing with you what I think it's.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
And I'm waiting to see what's going to come of it.
And because I believe I'm right, I obviously want you to believe how I believe. Now, that's how you feel towards me. And again, it will be a shame to miss on something. The thing is because we don't believe in the Trinity with a good reason, because the Trinity is man-made. Jesus is not God. God is God. Jesus is the Son of God. Because we don't believe in the Trinity, and the scriptures that the Trinity uses to believe in Trinity, those scriptures, we have built a resistance to it. Because the Trinity uses it, we resist it. It does not mean that it's not true. You know what I mean?
And it's good that you have made that point to us. And frankly, you're saying what you have said has caused me to consider the whole thing and maybe, hey, pay a little, don't go too quick, you know, marking this thing out or whatever, Pablo. So from that point of view, I think what you have brought is good. Now, still, you're left with the problem of what you do at the time that you want to baptize them.
You know,
what formula do you use? Do you baptize in the name of Jesus? Or do you do it in the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit?
In the name of Jesus. You do it in the name of Jesus.
Okay, well, maybe we don't have much of a problem then.
No, we do it in the name of Jesus. All day long, 100%, no doubt.
Okay,
baptize in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Father, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. But because Jesus, I believe Jesus is speaking of three baptisms.
Yeah. Okay, well.
We'll wait
and see if
there's...
Right.
Yeah,
I know of two of them.
You would ask baptism. So I just did a search on John's baptism.
Yeah.
And found Acts 19.3, Mark 11.30, Matthew 21.25, Luke 24, Acts 19.4, Acts 1.22.
Oh, no, but one that says only in the name of Jesus. Oh. Only, it says only
in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Only, you know.
Well, maybe the baptism that Jesus received from John the Baptist was a baptism from the Father. Father Dick Wells, the Holy Spirit came down.
Is there more than one baptism?
Well, there's baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is something that's distinct from water baptism.
So,
but that doesn't necessarily come in the name of Jesus.
No.
No, that's
separate. So
there's baptism by fire. There's a lot of baptism.
The baptism. Yeah. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
One reference, Pablo. Okay. Acts 6:8-16.
Okay.
But they were only baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
That one. So then they say, oh, okay. Then they lay hands on him.
No.
That was
Acts 8:16.
So what does it say around it?
I just... Search for the word.
8:16. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot my Bible.
I gotta read around it sometimes.
Turn on that light for Bible.
Okay.
I'm good.
Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So they received a baptism, and yep.
Okay. So there's two baptism in that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but.
And then they spoke it on the tongue.
I don't understand what that says.
It's saying also baptized in the name of Jesus, the Son.
We got two of them covered.
I am baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit.
We always knew there was two baptisms. There was a baptism of the Spirit, and there's the Holy Spirit, and there's a baptism by water.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, and that's what Jesus is speaking in Matthew 28:19. He's speaking about the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, those two, and in the name of the Father. I can't tell you what the name of the Father one is, but there's a baptism. Are you able to be baptized in the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? We know that Jesus was baptized through John the Baptist. And he received the Holy Spirit then. There's a baptism that I don't know what it is, but I know that it exists. Are you able to be baptized in the baptism that I am about to be baptized? You know what? I don't know what baptism that is, but I want it. Okay, I don't know who's going to do it. I don't know how, but I feel safer believing. And my own, you know what? It's not the point of believing or what it means or whatever. It's like it's there, and if we ought to live by every word of God, and if we say that's not God's word, we are not living by every word of God.
Well, I'm interested to find out when we start fulfilling all the scriptures. Like, say, I'm just going to throw one out. Women are not allowed to speak in church. They're not allowed to teach.
Okay, well,
so,
let's do it. I'm going to start right now.
Just saying, there's things like that that we have not necessarily found the
I think we need to eat those things. We eat it.
Yeah.
We eat it. And I'm not going to spit out Matthew 28:19. I'll eat that too.
Yeah.
But we eat it. Is that it? Oh, we got to go by it.
But not eliminated. Not saying it was added.
I'm just sorry. I never got into all the things about which translations. But there's a history there of that. That the way this was put together, and different ones were put a little different because men were doing it. Right?
Oh, right.
I mean, there's one where a guy is a Trinitarian and he says, but this was not in two of the original manuscripts.
Right.
So what do you do with that?
But
throw it out because it's only two instead of six? Yeah.
But what I'm saying also is like that I see no conflict in believing Matthew 28:19.
You know what? I got to say to you, you do that. But you're not going to convince me right now.
So, I see, I'm not trying to convince
you. Yes,
you are. I'm trying to show you what I've been shown.
Well, the only way I'm going to be shown is by the Holy Spirit.
That's the only way.
And I'm waiting
for that. I can't do it.
So, that's why we quit discussing 28:19. You brought it up 3-4 times now.
Oh, yes, and we can talk about Jesus being a man every day, and I agree with it. So are we going to stop talking about Jesus being a man?
Yeah, I know, but you're trying to make this specific point so strong.
Because I believe it's important.
Well,
just like
let God it be important to us.
Oh, right. So when he says, let's say, well, all this because Jesus is a man, so, well, I believe Jesus is a man. I do, all day long. Why are we still talking about it? Because it's important. So I'm going to stop talking about it because it's not important? You know what I mean? And, like brothers, we should all believe the same thing. We should. If we do not all believe the same thing, someone is wrong.
Time.
It does. But
it ain't going to happen all at one time.
No. But obviously, either you or me or both of us are missing something.
Well, we're probably both missing something.
Both of us. Okay, so we're
waiting
there
to see if there's a baptism in the Father's name.
Yes. Okay.
And for one, personally, I think by reading different scriptures that it says in the name, not names of three different ones, a name. And that name is Jesus.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, and
no, it says in the name, not names of these three.
No, it doesn't. It
so
baptized him in the name of the Son.
No, it says,
and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and the three ends, baptized him in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy
Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit. You don't say, I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit.
No.
Well, then that doesn't fit.
Well, in the name of the Son doesn't fit either, then.
Well, it does because that's how it happened everywhere after.
Right, I'm so dumb.
After the Holy Spirit fell in the room and Peter was full of the Spirit, that's when he preached.
Regardless of the understanding of the Scripture,
So now there's a different understanding of what
it's not a different understanding, but what you understand or what I understand. My point, my biggest point is, it's in the Bible, and it's in all the Bibles, and we don't have the liberty to take it away from the Bible, and going outside of the Bible to see if it belongs in the Bible. It's not right.
When is it going outside of the Bible if you're going to manuscripts that are what the Bible is made of?
Have you gone to a manuscript?
I just told you there's manuscripts that say.
You're believing, you've chosen to believe a man that wrote that told you that.
You're choosing to believe the man or men that wrote what you're saying.
No, I'm choosing to believe the God that put this Bible on it. See, the God.
Stop. Just stop. done. It's not. It's becoming an argument. I don't want an argument. You know, I don't want an argument. I looked at that and I thought, Lord, show me what it means. And all I've seen after that is baptized in the name of Jesus. That's what I've seen in the scriptures.
Yeah,
the Holy Spirit is presented as far as now.
That's what it is.
Yeah, well.
But there's a Holy Spirit baptism.
You know, I feel kind of guilty bringing all this up.
No, you don't.
I don't know what to do because this is not right. I don't see this as being the right thing to do right now. I'm sitting here argue who's right and who's wrong.
That's right.
Sorry, this is what it is to me.